Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Dakota Lone Star, and tonight's program is questionable, absolutely questionable for younger audiences. So if you've any children below 18 years of age, go ahead and make sure that they are not listening at this point, from the outset, rather. So we're going to go ahead and cover a few things here tonight. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and kick things off. I am Dakota Lone Star. It is 11 o'clock on the East Coast, and 8 p.m. rather on our West Coast. All right, from Shrek the Blurred to Shades of Blue, and from Hannah Montana to Lady Gaga, there's been a monumental rise in bisexuality. But why? Are people truly born that way, or is our anything-goes world being handed over to a next-to-reprobate mind? All right, as history would have it, Adam and Eve... Excuse me one moment. I have a sinus thing going on. I've been around a couple of cats for a couple of days. And at any rate, I just finished sneezing prior to going live. But there you have it. Thankfully, my studio does not have cats intermingling with this particular host. Otherwise, they would be outside. But... at any rate, I am broadcasting from a different location this evening and dealing with a somewhat bad allergic reaction at any rate. As history would have it, Adam and Eve had a choice, and nothing has changed in that department unless you are an independent Coptic filmmaker from Egypt that dare use an alias to create a film that is unpopular in a couple of perhaps three circles. Try being an American independent filmmaker of Asian Indian descent and not towing the party line. Sig Heil, Hein Barak. Who needs to change the laws of the land when lawless folk can count on hack activist judges bleeding about a once freer nation, a more excellent union? Forward isn't always... forward. Sometimes forward is can actually be, you know, correctly defined as devolving. Excuse me. Take for example one of the richest quotes in the world. I was driving down 495 this evening, and as I exit off of 495, there was a car in front of me. A very humble, older, what looked to be Toyota, small Toyota. And there was one bumper sticker on the vehicle, and it was a quote from the Honorable oh my goodness, I'm so brain farting right now. The most famous Catholic sister, if you will. Oh my goodness, it'll come to me at any rate. Something to the effect of poverty is, I'm sorry, poverty is taking the life of a child just so that you can basic, and I'm not going to quote it verbatim at this particular point, but poverty is, and basically taking the life of a baby just so that you can live yours however you want. That's kind of the gist of you're the captain of your ship kind of thing. And Mother Teresa, and just popped into my head actually, an amazing quote, because poverty today is only acquainted with primarily, I mean, like 99.9% of the time, poverty isn't, the term poverty isn't used when referring to those that are impoverished from a spiritual standpoint. If we become selfish enough that only our choices matter, and the choice of the unborn is muted, if you will, collectively speaking, then we are impoverished spiritually. And Mother Teresa, or Sister Teresa, or whatever, she actually exemplified and exemplifies that quote quite well. But I'm going to go ahead and just push through here in terms of the rest of the of my opening salvo, if you will. And then from there, I will take your calls. But anyway, I wanted to start out by saying tonight, to each his or her own. I'm not anti-laissez-faire per se, but I also don't believe that truth is about the business of force-feeding viewership something that others might consider normal, quote-unquote. Prior to a severe injury as a baseball player, I loved jumping on curveballs. But the curveballs of today could not be spotted if not for a verifiable track record in Hollywood. So I loved curveball pitchers as a batter. Sooner or later, even the best of pitchers is going to hang a curveball a little bit, one that you can smash directly back at the pitcher and frighten them severely, or rip into left field, or punch between the shortstop and the second baseman, if you will. I love curveball. I love batting against curveball pitchers at any rate. But today, a curveball pitcher couldn't be spotted in terms of other media, mainstream media and television and Hollywood and so forth, Hollywood productions and so forth. You still can't see it coming. It's interesting, even though we should expect, as a society in the United States, to see the curveball coming. But there are still times when we're taken aback and taken aback. And I was watching Shades of Blue with the wifey the other night, and we didn't. Begin when the series premiered, but we have watched the first, I think, 4 episodes now. So basically, seriously, the actionable difference of some writers today is such that a batter is teleported to to a football field and ends up wondering for a brief moment where he or she is actually at. So imagine yourself in a batter's box momentarily, and a writer, a Hollywood writer, or screenwriter, a writer of television programming, or otherwise, all of a sudden there's something that just takes you by surprise. And I'm not alluding to the genre of suspense. I'm talking about when you're watching a show and you're just like, where did that come from? That was so left field. The position that I played was left field, but it was so left field when we sat down to watch Shades of Blue the other night, and we're watching, and the lieutenant, I believe, played by Ray Liotta, abruptly leans in and kisses the ringleader, a guy from Internal Affairs. So I'm not very far into the program. So if you call my program this evening, I'm not very far into Shades of Blue. So don't be a spoiler. But at any rate, the show was spoiled at that point. It was tarnished, in my opinion, because it just wasn't necessary. The fact that Ray Liotta, I mean, they had to carve homosexuality into an already set in stone kind of thing. It was just really weird. It was almost as strange as Doris in Shrek the Blurred, because I didn't see the second Shrek number two in the series of three, actually four, I believe, as of 2010. But anyway, I remember taking my boys to see Shrek the Blurred, and seemingly out of thin air, a cross-dressing she-male showed up, and the stunt was not natural. It just wasn't natural. It was just like, where did this character come from? I mean, for God's sake, if you're gonna, again, to each his own, but they're forcing it down our throats as viewers. And I know you got to keep the ball rolling in terms of, people graduating from, the Obamas and Sesame Street to Teen Nick and the Obamas to, and then you move on from there, to Pretty Little Liars and Hellcats, and then you move on to, I guess you graduate at a certain point to Colbert, right? Or any other number of late night, and everything is funny, and people have become entirely desensitized. And I even have, I don't want people with their tongues down each other's throat in front, heterosexual couples, in front of my boys, which are 14 and 12 now. Yeah, sooner and later they're going to see things, but I would be, last summer I was invited to at Wolf Trap, I attended an event, a Pokemon symphonic composure, if you will, of Pokemon, and there was a cross-dressing male that was clearly a cross-dressing male that attended the program as well. And my youngest little guy is kind of short, and he didn't really catch it. But my older boy looked at me and was like, "Dad, was that a guy, walking by?" And, for God's sake, at least shave and learn how to walk in heels, high heels, if you're going to be at a children's event, an event for families or whatever. Again, to each his own, but you're shoving things down our throat that just don't fit. It didn't fit when Ray Liotta his character leaned in and kissed. I mean, aside from the obvious fact that Ray Liotta wears mascara on set, doesn't lend itself to his leaning in and kissing the internal affairs ringleader. At any rate, it was as if I were somehow standing on Mars and wondering how I got there. I started out on Earth watching a program, Shades of Blue, that's okay. I mean, my wife and I look to fill the voids each time we finish. It doesn't always have to be on the heels of another series, but we like to watch series together. We love The Blacklist. Amazing in a lot of ways. And are writers force-feeding viewers? So that's kind of what we're looking at tonight. And why this monumental rise in bisexuality today? Is it because there used to be that many bisexual young adults, or in terms of our society and anything goes cultural aspect, has God given America over to a reprobate mind? And which just means that he's just given you free rein. And he had, it's interesting because, as history would have it, back in the Garden of Eden, there was one tree that he told Adam and Eve not to eat from, but he still didn't force them to not eat from that particular, or partake of that particular fruit. And that's where we differ from progressives as conservatives. We are not going to force you to not eat from a tree, so to speak. We're not going to create clones, if you will. Number one, we don't have the energy, we don't have the time, we don't have the resources. And At this point in American history, I'm hoping that the next Republican nominee for president of the United States just, I don't know, I'm just kind of hoping they stay away from, abortion somewhat. I mean, it's clear that we live in an impoverished nation spiritually. Not that we have to become a progressive or liberal for God's sake, but we need to be talking about protecting our citizens from enemies, both foreign and domestic, Mr. President. Also, the economy. And those are really two of the largest issues facing our nation right now. The third, obviously, I've covered a lot in the last few programs, is certainly the greatest strike against freedom of speech played out at the hands of our inner onion in his particular administration, the 44th administration, and how they handled Nikola Biseli Nikula, an Egyptian-born Coptic Christian who made a movie. Well, he was placed under house arrest for, and I just went back and listened to Obama's speech before the United Nations, a recording on September 25th of 2012, 2 weeks to the day after the attack on our embassy in Benghazi, where savages were unable, for whatever reason, to contain themselves. Savages. Brute beasts. That aren't even, you don't even fit into humanity. When you, even if it were a film, because of a film, you don't measure up. And so I'm wondering if the people, how many steps removed is the administration that'll place someone under house arrest that doesn't, produce things that he or she agrees with from the beasts that actually slayed a handful of our people and totally jacked up the families to boot. How many steps removed is this president and his onion, our inner onion, the onion, the 44th onion, so to speak, removed? Once you start placing, in his speech, he said, "I've made it very clear that the United States had nothing to do with this film." Yeah, you did make it clear, sir. And you also, at the same time, just as a quarter has, or a coin, generally speaking, has a head and a tail, so to speak, on opposing sides of the coin, but they still exist on the same coin, or you rolled the dice, and you flipped a coin, sir. You flipped a coin, and you made it crystal clear that the United States wasn't involved in the production of innocence of Muslims. But at the same time, you struck a blow at the roots of our Constitution and Nikola Biseli Nikula's right to create a film that others may not agree with, God forbid. And in terms of quoting Gandhi and talking about, the violence of words, I mean, I consider Gandhi a pretty great guy, but I don't necessarily part and parcel agree with that quote, because violence, I believe that there's actual violence, and I believe there is perceived violence. And a lot of what's going around lately is perceived violence on the end of, in terms of where Muslim Americans are concerned. And, just look at it. Look at what's happened recently. Look at the Marine that was just beaten in D.C., just right around the corner from Penn Avenue. And have you said anything to, you're a divider. in chief, you're a conceder in chief, and just it's really problematic. You could, I mean, for all of your Bible knowledge and the fact that you quoted the Bible two or three, if not four times annually on national television, and God only knows where separation and our separation of church and states have got gone to at that point. Not that I'm calling for separation of church and state in terms of individualism, again, and the elected's right to his or her belief, but or candidates, every candidate's right to his or her beliefs. I don't know. I just, why can't you get up and say, "Thou shalt not murder"? If you're going to quote from the Bible, if you're going to attempt to deride the Holy Word of God in 2008 before the Call to Renewal conference, and that's on YouTube as well for the world to see, then get up and just say, "Thou shalt not murder." Oh, but then people would spot that, wouldn't they? That's different than 1 Thessalonians 4:6 and sounding like one of Monet's vignettes, so to speak, and I just threw those together for schmitz and giggles. But anyway, all right, so basically, are people truly born that way? We've seen a huge rise. We're talking about exponential rise in bisexuality, quote unquote, right? Or is our anything goes world being handed over to a next reprobate mind, if you will? I believe it's the latter. I believe that all of the Word of God is prophecy, and sooner or later every single word will ring true through the annals of truth and time. The truth and time continuum, if you will. But anyway, so that's one of the things I wanted to cover tonight. And, you know, Shrek the Third, so Doris, right? And it says right here that that Doris, unlike other ugly sisters, she is an ally and best friend to Fiona in Shrek the Blurred. She is first seen, and I'm quoting at this point from Wikipedia. I just pulled it up. Not that I like Wikipedia, but check this out. Or listen to this next couple of sentences. She is first seen as an unusually masculine female bartender at the Poison Apple. She is depicted as a tall, independent woman with purple-themed clothes who wears Elizabeth Taylor-style makeup. Check this out, though. Pay close attention to the next Wikipedia line. Her character design is intended to invoke the appearance of a drag queen, which is supported with her masculine voice. Okay. So, and here's what's interesting about that whole thing. Prior to Shrek, well, anyway, Doris was introduced in the second in the series, and then Paramount Pictures acquired DreamWorks Pictures in 2006, and the Shrek the Third was the third in the series to be distributed, but the first to be distributed, I'm sorry, by Paramount Pictures. But here's where things get really interesting. It was nominated, Shrek the Blurred, was nominated for Best Animated Movie at the 2008 Kids' Choice Awards, but lost to Ratatouille. It was also nominated for the BAFTA Award for Best Animated Film at the 61st British Academy Film Awards. It grossed $799 million on a $160 million budget, becoming the fourth highest grossing film of 2007. It was rated PG for parental guidance. And I'm wondering at this point, you know, give me a call if you want to call in and talk about Shrek the Blurred and about Shades of Blue and how Hollywood and television and Shades of Blue and Shrek the Blurred and how they're force feeding. Do you believe, as an American, I'd like to take a caller from North America, specifically the United States, for that matter. Do you believe that we are being force fed homosexuality and bisexuality? And do you think it's fitting for an animated film that hasn't been deemed rated R for producers, directors, and writers to include cross-dressing in an animated film meant for all practical purposes, intended for families? Give me a call at 929-477-4090 because I'm going to change gears in just a moment. But at this point, I will stay on topic here because, interestingly enough, I ran across a Facebook post where a wealthy Muslim couple was forced to leave the United States because they had two Indonesian slaves, female slaves, within their home. As the story would have it, allegedly, each slave went without food for periods of time, and each slave was awarded $60,000, right, before the Muslim couple was extradited back to their homeland, if you will. And here's what's interesting. Imagine being a woman from Indonesia, and I want to hear from the women, women's libbers out there, or the feminists. The call number is 929-477-4090. Give me a call if you find it problematic that a lesbian couple in Idaho is able to acquire $130,000 based on a hack activist judge and trumped up charges, you know, that they couldn't go to work because they were turned away from a Christian bakery. And then two women are kept as slaves in the United States of America, and each one is only awarded $60,000 in reparations. And they weren't fed at times. And they couldn't go outside because in the United States, the last time I checked anyway, in my 48 years here, outside of the womb, at any rate, that we don't allow for slavery any longer. And, but anyhow, anywho, so moving on. Basically, the Washington Post magazine, dated Sunday, February 14th, 2016, right, so Valentine's Day, the cover elicits a segment of the new, indigenous segment of the New World Order, even possibly. They've got one... let's see, one, two, three homosexual couples. One lesbian couple in the middle, and it says love in 2016. So they have 12 photos, and the first photo are two men kissing each other. And then, you know, all the other photos are pretty nice or whatever, in my opinion. And then the second to last frame in the second row are two women ready to kiss each other. And then the bottom, you have two rather thin men, again, at least from my vantage point, kissing. So the Washington Post magazine, Sunday, February 14th, 2016, that's their cover. And Like I said, to each his own, but at what point are you complicit in terms of force feeding viewers? And do you believe that anyone is complicit or, in fact, force feeding? If you take issue with the fact that I believe that our children are being molded and so forth. Anyway, and I wanted to play a clip for you really quick. Give me about 30 seconds here. I'm going to pull up a couple of clips from the 2012 presidential address to the United Nations 2 weeks after the attack on Benghazi, where a handful of ours were slaughtered by savages. I just want to play something, and I want you to hear what's in the air, because it's been around since the Yes We Can clan, prior to the Yes We Can clans having leaned on four independent filmmakers. This air, if you will, you'll hear it in our king's voice. I guarantee it. I'm going to pull up two clips for you. I'll be back inside of about a minute. All right, now bear in mind, let me just check my other volume over here. Oh man, my speakers were up. I apologize, folks, for that first portion of the program. I hope that, I'm so hoping that it wasn't causing a lot of interference. But I want to go ahead and play now clip number 14. And this is excerpted from President Barack Obama's address to the United Nations on September 25th, 2012, 2 weeks to the day after savages, mere brute beasts, killed an act of war, mind you, since it was our embassy. Thank you very much. But let's go ahead. Thank you, Mr. President, for referring to it as an act of war, even though I don't remember hearing that out of you. But let's go ahead, and I'm going to just get, now check this out. So from Sesame Street, I want to share this really quick first, from Sesame Street to the grave, the Obamas of the free world are the new wave. Now check this out, and pay close attention to the verbiage.
The future must not belong to those corrupt few who steal a country's resources. It must be won by the students and entrepreneurs and workers and business owners who seek a broader prosperity for all people. Those are the women and men that America stands with. Theirs is the vision we will support.
All right. So the first words out of his mouth was the first. Actually, I'm going to replay that, because that beginning is just so powerfully telling and damning. All right, here you go. I'm going to replay that. One moment.
The future must not belong to those corrupt few who steal a country's resources. It must be won by the students.
Oh, there we go. Now look it. Maybe the New World Order is setting up Bernie Sanders, who said that, well, allegedly, he said that he wants to dethrone God. Good luck there, pal. But steal the resources. So what he's done there in one fell swoop is pit students against the haves. It's not even a haves and a have-nots anymore at that point. It is the students against the haves now, the entrepreneurs, the students, and the students as entrepreneurs. Is it any wonder that Bernie Sanders is so popular? I told my wife like 7 or 8 months ago, she was like, nah, this fruitcake isn't going to garner anything. She didn't use those words, you know, this fluffball, communist or whatever. But I said, hey, watch out. Nothing could be more important than weed for the free world, everyone in the free world. So watch this guy. You know, I thought he was a dark horse, and I think he's a dark horse now, and I think he is a dark horse spiritually, and I believe he is spiritually depraved. So the few that have stolen the resources, ergo the 1%. Oh, okay, I get it. So the 1%, you know, none of them have worked for their money. It was all stolen. I mean, the lap of luxury is riddled with, evidently, per the our inner onion, who reeks to high heaven, if you will, whose policies are repugnant at best. But look, I understand. I'm beginning to understand. So we go from the Obama's visiting Sesame Street to Teen Nick to Pretty Little Liars to Hellcats to Colbert to... and the Obamas have always been there. Yes, we can. Can you see the pendulum yet? Yes, we can. Yes, I can see the pendulum. All right, look. So I'm going to go ahead and move on, and I'm hoping that the beginning of the program wasn't awash with distortion because I had my speakers turned up. All right, so I do apologize. But watch this. Things are going to stay fun. We are looking at 11:37 on the East Coast, making it 8:37 out in California. So those of you enjoying, or on the West Coast rather, I'm sorry, those of you making your way home, get ready because we are about to have a good time. The call-in number is 929-477-4090. I am going to briefly read... No, I'm not. I'm going to do it at the end of the program. I'm going to go ahead and read my opening salvo at the end of the program. I am going to actually move on to the next topic because I would be remiss if I didn't... it's interesting because I got a hold of the Washington Times today. I'm sorry, the Washington Post. Pardon me. I love the Washington Times. I wish I had a copy of the Washington Times today. But interestingly enough, those are my peeps. The Washington Post is, well, let's just say that there are more than a few devils that that make up their common core. All right, so look, I would be remiss if I weren't to cover a couple of things out of today's Washington Post, dated Thursday, February 18th, 2016. So it looks as though His Excellency... Oh, wait, that was the term they used for Barack Obama. That's how they introduced Obama. I'm sorry, my bad. At the September 25th, 2012 meeting... 2012 meeting... or 2012 meeting, rather. I'm sorry, I was trying to be kind of cute there. But... at the United Nations, but the cover of the Washington Post for today has the Pope Mobile, and or it looks to be the Pope Mobile at any rate, and throngs of people on the Mexican, Ciudad Juarez, Mexico, and the stage was set up for him. The stage set up for him overlooked the border with the United States. All right, so Joshua Partlow and Gabriela Martinez ended up penning, if you will, an article entitled "To Address Rising Migrant Crisis, Pope Goes Right to the Border." So I'm going to go ahead and just read. This is kind of interesting because It says the Pope laid flowers, and this is verbatim at this point. We're looking at the third paragraph in the middle of the page. This is the Pope laid flowers at the foot of a giant cross that had been erected at the top of the ramp for the brief afternoon ceremony. Nearby thousands who had come to the nearby Juarez Fairgrounds for a mass on the last day of the Pope's trip to Mexico observed a moment of silence. During the mass, the Pope spoke of the thousands of immigrants who seek to cross this border and others to escape violence or find a better life. Those aren't the people that we have a problem with, sir. And I guess I'll go ahead and save His Excellency for the beloved number 44. I don't know what we should call you, but Pope Francis, I'll just suffer and call you, at any rate, Pope Francis. So it's interesting because those aren't the people that we're worried about, sir. As a matter of fact, it's interesting because the president went on television recently, and also recently, in my opinion, and talked about, you know, kind of talking big, like, well, they can't take out the United States in terms of the American way of life. Jihadists can't, right? Well, they do for individual families every single time, individually take out, eradicate the American way of life in terms of individualism. And all right, so at the very least, from the outset of my program, shows like Shrek the Blurred should have a huge warning label warning parents. It should come with a neon light. We have a cross-dressing drag queen of an effeminate male within this particular PG animated film. We'll leave sex education up to you, the parent or parents of your children. But we're not worried, Sir Pope, Papa Pope. We're not worried about the immigrants who seek to cross the border because they're attempting to actually escape violence or find a better life. But what about the ones that are looking to subjugate yet another continent and inflict terror and savagery? You know, what about the fort? Anyway, I'll get to that in a second because I want to read something else. He said, now this is interesting. Each step a journey laden with terrible injustices. Well, that tells me that the only country not down with injustice is the United States. The enslaved, kidnapped, extorted, many of our brothers caught in the business of human trafficking. Okay, most of those are girls, but he said, we cannot deny the humanitarian crisis, which in recent years has meant the migration of thousands of people, try over millions, actually, when you go back to Janjaweed and Darfur, whether by train or highway or on foot, crossing hundreds of kilometers through mountains, deserts, and inhospitable zones. So their way of life doesn't work. So if they're coming here and they're looking to change, looking for the change, rather, then I welcome them wholeheartedly. If they're looking for the change, for the difference that America offers, except for if you're a Jewish student in California or a white Marine in D.C., conservative Supreme Court justice, you know, the Black Lives Matter, we're convinced of that, even though we didn't have to be convinced of that in the first place. We know they matter, but you guys need to really, you and your inner onion need to kind of reframe your it's interesting because I called a program the other night, and it was hosted by a proponent of the Nation of Islam, a Farrakhanianite, or whatever you want to call him. And he said that the Union Army only freed the slaves so that they could bring in, or no, his female caller did, and he agreed, only freed the slaves to later displace them with our family members. So the Union Army risked life and limb because they had a larger, more insidious goal of displacing and building off of black successes and stealing the, you know, like the president just mentioned, stealing the wealth. You know, really, as if all white people are, as if whitey is the culmination of, I'm not sure your Common Core math is curious, in my opinion, rather curious, but I know that your pawns don't find it curious, but we are not the culmination of dam that floated over here on the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. That's not our makeup. So anyway, so I want to read something here real quick, because it says people have crossed through the mountains, deserts, and inhospitable zones. So pretty much everything in it is, in terms of the news, can you name one inhospitable zone other than the United States of America, what we used to be anyway, prior to referring to the severing of heads as workplace violence? And there isn't an inhospitable zone anywhere in the world any longer. And we're tired of it. And check this out, he said, and while the crisis could be measured in statistics, he added, we want instead to measure with names, stories, and families. Would you be so kind, Papa Pope, as to list the individuals directly affected at San Bernardino with their names? Would you like to measure with their names, their stories, and their families? How about the couple of dozen families that were directly affected at Fort Hood in 2009 by a savage? Would you like to measure with names there, sir? Some of which are Latino and African-American, or American of African descent, and American of Latino descent. So would you be so kind, Papa Pope, as to list the, to lay out that yardstick that you speak to so fondly for the Canadians that lost their lives as well in the last couple of years, or the Paris parishioners, if you will. Here's what's interesting, and I'm not going to go into this one too deep because this is this is a fun one. The Washington Post is I'm just wondering how many actual, aside from monetarily speaking, you know, paid journalists they have on their staff. Mark Fisher, in the Thursday, February 18th edition of the Washington Post, his article's entitled "Experts Say the Onus." I'm sorry, "Experts Say Onus on Adults at School to Stop Predators." It takes a village. Experts say onus on adults at school to stop predators. Was the onus supposed to be even remotely listed on the side of America's school children? Is that how your village raises people up in America, by articles with titles like that? I mean, is it any wonder that almost all of the trigger men have been Democrats to the tune of 99.9% around the United States? And furthermore, we have a mass shooting every day in the United States. There are around 20, give or take a few, individual lives, around 20, that are cut short within our inner cities. So do your jobs. You don't have the wherewithal to comb through the hoods for all the illegal frogs, and we'll cut down on 99.9% of shootings. Eureka. So really, there's a really strong argument that the Democrats shouldn't be allowed within miles of a firearm, because you've proven time and time again that you're just a couple of steps removed from the people that attacked, and even the white children that are okay with placing a filmmaker on house arrest. You're right there. You're complicit as well. And the white adults. You're complicit. Bottom line, you're complicit. And so I found that interesting too. So anyway, moving on, I was skimming the paper and I found two more articles I wanted to kind of touch on. One is on page A3, from within the Politics and the Nation section of the Thursday edition of the Washington Post. It's entitled Report, Number of Hate Groups Up. Okay, so the Southern Poverty Law Center. Here's what's interesting. Mark Potok is quoted, and he's the author of a particular report, right? Of this particular report, at any rate, from the Southern Poverty Law Center. But anyway, Mark, this is pretty funny. Check this out. He said, it was a year marked by very high levels of political violence, enormous rage in the electorate, and a real significant growth in hate groups. Look at the language there. Look at the language. It was a year marked. I'll even read it softly. I don't have to read it in an animated voice whatsoever for you to catch on if you have more than 50 brain cells colliding in your kaleidoscope of a cranium. All right, so watch. It was a year marked by very high levels of political violence, enormous rage in the electorate, and a real significant growth in hate groups. I thought that was kind of interesting. They went on, okay, so what about people, these knockout groups or whatever they're called, referred to as, these devils that are going around the United States right now? They're terrorists, really. They're jihadists. And they run around and punch an elderly person for fun and, you know, in an attempt to knock them out with one punch. You are jihadists. And I've rated my program R tonight, so I'll say you're a fucking piece of slime. All right, so I don't know if I can say that rated R. Yeah, I think I can, actually. And if that word bothers you, don't give me your line of bullshit, because, number one, today's modern family, if you're a Flint, you are not offended by schlong. Your water cooler talk is slime from Satan. It went on to say, the article goes on to say, the center said that Donald Trump had electrified the radical right. The radical right. Okay, so we're radical because we want a border. We want walls, like, we want laws as stiff as Mexico's laws. That makes us radical. But yet you're not willing to call out nation states like Mexico. All right. And then it says hate in the mainstream had absorbed some of the hate on the fringes. All right, so look, so you've got these punching groups going around which are just jihadists, just sick little devils that deserve to be basically eradicated, in my opinion. It says here, Trump, cover of the Southern Poverty Law Center's magazine, right? It said that they published a magazine whose cover prominently features Trump alongside domestic terrorists. Well, have you done that with Louis Farrakhan? Louis. Have you? Would you be so bold as to justice or else? Or else what? How can that be deemed anything other than a threat is beyond me. But then, you know, a white person can say something like Ted Nugent, and the FBI is all over his house combing through everything he owns, perhaps. And and then Farrakhan can stand up, or can hold a gathering in our nation's capital, right? Which, fine, to each his own, but you're just showing your true colors. You and your punch groups, little devils is what you are, and justice or else. Or else what? Or else what? I dare you to fill in the blank. So, I thought that was interesting, but he goes on to say, this is the only, like, there's a modicum here, maybe it says, unlike the BLM movement, the separatist groups represented an extreme position that demonized whites, gays, and Jews. And that's true. It was just a few short years ago that the Reverend Al Sharpton was stating that we shouldn't demonize the dead. Well, how about demonizing the living? You demonize whites, and you demonize Jews, you demonize the rich, and in that you lose, collectively speaking, period, bottom line. And what about, couldn't it be referred to as hate? You know, a European, a Caucasian European comes over here and gets murdered outside of St. Louis. I mean, where was the FBI in that? And this was clearly a European. I cannot recall even where he was from, whether it was like Yugoslavia or Czech, you know, the Czech Republic, or where was this guy from? But he appeared white. So I'm wondering, where was Obama's Justice Department? And all these cops being murdered, and all the silence. I mean, silence is deafening, and silence is actually, you know, for all practical purposes, based on literate constructionists of value, would tell you that silent is consent. Silence is consent in many cases. So, if you want to be complicit, just play along. Anyway, give me a call, 929-477-4090. Again, that call number is 929-477-4090. It is now, we're coming up on the midnight hour on the East Coast. Got a new day rolling in, Friday, TGIF, to all of my listeners. And it's been a long work week. That's for sure. Because I'm one of those evil middle-aged white guys that makes $11.80 an hour and dareth not toe the line of the Democratic Party. Here's what's interesting, though. There was the columnist Niraj Chokshi, went on to say, it's interesting here, Carol Swain, kudos to Carol Swain, a professor of political science at Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee, who has actually previously criticized the Southern Poverty Law Center, because she said they paint with a very broad brush. And in the process, they tend to sweep up people that are politically conservative, said Carol Swain. I think they do it in a very harmful way, and they abuse their power as an organization, even singling out people like Tony Perkins as an extremist or James Dobson as an extremist. And those are not extremists. And those are Christian conservatives that, last time I checked, they had a right to their individual views, even on homosexuality, except for in your New America, right? Somebody, we need America to, someone to just reach around us and give this nation the Heimlich, to get rid of the Nazi party among us, because individuals have to toe the line or, you know, face fines or be placed under house arrest. Anyway, the call number is 929-477-4090. It's getting rather lonely, and I don't care if I can't sing today. But anyway, so there you have it. There's a couple of things. I just thought it was interesting that on the front page of the Washington Post, there was a, there is an article entitled "Experts Say Onus on Adults at School to Stop Predators." It takes a village. Anyway, I'm going to get out and tweet that. You can follow me on Twitter at @DOC_OTA Lone Star. That's at @DOC_OTA Lone Star. And I was hoping to hear from a couple of callers tonight, but it's all good. Because we can, and you can check us out online at 40and28forever.com. And because we can. Because you can. God only knows for how long. God only knows for how long right-wing extremists can continue to believe that God made them male and female, and truth be damned, and in the image of God created he them, male and female. But anyway, to each his own. I would hope that along with the PG posting of Shrek the Blurreds going forward, that you would put up some kind of a little bit of a neon sign that says, so I don't have to spend my money twice for garbage, so I don't have to view it first and then bring my children, I mean, to a PG animated film with a crossdresser. I mean, grow the hell up. You know, that should be like an Adult Swim thing if you're not trying to if you're not attempting to mold our children. It's pretty jacked up. Pretty jacked up, in the, to say the least. And then we've got Shades of Blue, like I said. It's just, it's everywhere. And now, they're just unabashedly projecting Lucifer as, like, not being, you know, a biblical entity or force that's, you know, it's all, I don't know. I mean, the dumbing down of America isn't just in terms of our intellect contextually, but also spiritually. We are spiritually impoverished, as Sister Teresa or Mother Teresa, I think Mother Teresa, not Catholic, but anyway, I do want to give a shout out to Justice Scalia's family, Antonin Scalia. Our hope is that you're with the living God, Elohim, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, did I just say that? Oh, in America, the audacity of Dakota Lone Star. And honestly, and your family and your friends and everyone's lives that you've touched individually as a Supreme Court justice. See, after all, that's what it's all about. Freedom today is limited. By those that are willing to place individual filmmakers under house arrest. Those that are willing to bring in a hack judge that has to bring in a third psychiatrist to actually corroborate the finding of the judge in terms of like Dinesh D'Souza. And then you're tying up his money, his time, his creative resource, and his mind and his spirit. And I don't want that kind of America. As a matter of fact, there's a line in a famous song. This flag stands for freedom. I think it's God Bless the USA. Anyway, and they can't take that away. Well, they are. They're doing it, and it's time that you wake up. Wake up. On the count of three, I'm going to snap my fingers. One, two, three. Wake up, America. You are somebody's, you are someone's bitch at the end of the day. Yay, freedom. We did lean on four filmmakers, and no one is really standing up about it. You are someone's bee. And I don't mean B as in boyfriend or BFF or Beyonce. You are someone's bitch. And that bitch doesn't have enough tits to take care of true freedom. Deeds. All right. Anyway, I know that sounded a little bit crude, but so be it. How many teats does a piggy have? Piggy, fat, pork, fat, pork, fat, pork, fat, piggy, teat, teat, teat. Teat, ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, teats. And now, all the Bernie fans are rolling off the heels of America's first half white president and into Bernie land. Because nothing could be more important. Nothing could possibly be more important than marijuana for all. This is Dakota Lone Star. Have a nice evening. And God save America from this new type of freedom. Here's an interesting last thought for y'all. The interview is commendable, but the innocence of Muslims is blasphemous. How's that for the humanists out there with an earshot? The interviews and freedom and cutting off a world leader's head or shooting him in the head, like the Kim Jong-un, whatever his name is, the North Korean leader. So that's cool, and it's hip, and it's... But the innocence of Muslims is somehow blasphemous and sophomoric. Well, I've got news for you. The interview is sub-sophomoric. And teach us all. No, I mean, if you enjoyed it and it's just it got your nipples hard, great. I mean, you know, I mean, if your nipples were hard for it, great. All power to you. But if it didn't, and you think an Egyptian war and Coptic Christian should have been treated a little bit differently in the United States as an individual, then you're on Team Dakota. This is Dakota Lone Star. Have a great night, America. God save America. God bless the few, the proud, our Marines, our Navy, our Air Force, and our army. And God save the little sisters, even though I'm not Catholic again, I'm just kind of referring to something of America. And when I say those things, I even will stand for the atheist right to speak out in America. Don't be fooled, don't be duped, and don't be someone's bitch. This is Dakota Lone Star.